Zabala here with you on 720 WGN, 1236 AM. We're here with you until 1 o'clock. One of the things that I definitely have missed the most of over the course of the last year is the opportunity to go out to a theater and see a film, see a big screen movie and just enjoy it with some really unhealthy popcorn and maybe some candy that I paid a ridiculous amount for, and my feet sticking to the floor and all those things. It's truly as good as things have gotten with larger TVs at home and sound systems and everything else. It's truly still the way to see a beautiful film. So film festivals, many film festivals over the last year were canceled and everything has kind of been up in the air. So as we go into 2021, somebody has decided, well, we're going to do something interesting about this. The Göteborg Film Festival in Sweden is taking place this year. It can be in person for a couple of people, not for everybody like it has been in the past. Joining us on the phone right now, all the way from Sweden, is Jonas Holmberg. He's the artistic director of the Göteborg Film Festival. Good morning, Jonas. How are you?
I'm really fine. Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. So tell me a little bit about the history of the film festival. Is this a long-standing film festival that's an annual event in Sweden?
Yes, it is. It's the oldest film festival in Sweden and in Scandinavia, and it's also the biggest film festival in Scandinavia, and it's been running since 1979, so it's quite well established.
It sounds like it. So last year, is it always in January? Last year, I imagine you were able to go off as normal because it was before everything got a little crazy. This is the first year that the festivals had to truly deal with the pandemic?
Yes, almost. Last year, like the pandemic, it was news about something is going on in China during the festival.
Right.
And actually, we were affected in one little way. We had a Chinese film team presenting a Chinese film in Göteborg, and we had to reschedule their flight back for a safer route, so they had better stops in China that would be more safe. But there's a small like hunch of what was going to happen.
Yeah, after you went through all that, that was probably a big pain for you last year and seemed like a lot to go through, and now you're looking at that and laughing at what a small deal that really was, huh?
yeah, that was okay. Back then, also, we didn't think so much about it, but it's funny that it was... Like we saw the start of it just coming, and then a few weeks after the festival, everybody was talking about it, and sure, we couldn't arrange a film festival anymore. So we were the last ones out.
Yeah. So let's talk about the film festival in general. Is this, so, you know, we all know about Cannes and the Toronto Film Festival and other famous film festivals around the world. Is there a special niche for the Göteborg Film Festival, or is it open to any and all types of film?
Yeah, we screen a lot of films from all over the world, and we're open to all kinds of films. But and for the audience, we're a big audience festival. We're one of the biggest audience festivals in Europe. And for our audience, they come to see films from all over the world. But if you look at what people from abroad come to see, what the international industry, why the international industry travel to Sweden to come to the festival, it's to see new Nordic films, basically films from Scandinavia, and that's what the core is in our international profile. We're bringing like new Nordic talent to the world.
Okay, so that makes sense. So do big films, big studio films that end up being Hollywood films also come to your film festival, or is it more films that I'm not necessarily going to see at the big movie theater in Chicago?
Well, both, I would say.
Okay.
For sure. Like last year, we played 1917, for example. So we have this kind of bigger films also. But the core is more traditional art house cinema, independent cinema, these kind of films.
Great. Excellent. So it's you said the largest attended film festival in Europe, or one of the largest. Not this year, because you just can't. But you are allowing a couple of people at least to come. I want to get to the Lighthouse in a minute. But I also see that you have one of Sweden's most visited arenas where world championship hockey games have been played for 50 years. You're going to have one seat to watch films at. And then you also have an empty theater, the 708 seat theater where you would normally be showing films. You're going to allow one person to see films. How is that going to work? Is there one person that's going to win that, or will various people get their turns? Is there a lottery? How are those two arenas going to work for people seeing films?
Yeah, it will be a lottery. And why we're doing this is, like, the festival is turning digital this year for the audience. It's a digital festival mostly. And then, but then we wanted to kind of tie the digital experience to something physical. But then we still arrange those screenings. Like, at the same time, the film will have its online premiere. It will also be screened in our Gala Theater, Draken, just as where we have our premiere screenings, our gala premieres usually. So it will screen there, and at the same time, it will be available online. But at the theater, the only difference, it will be not crowded. It will be only for one person. And if possible, the filmmaker will also be there to introduce the film and talk to this one person in the audience. So I think it will be an exclusive but also a little bit sad experience, yeah. I think to attend those screenings.
It's both. Now, I'm reading here that you can get a digital festival pass, that the programs will be available via computer, tablet, smartphone, Chromecast, or Apple TV. But is that only in Sweden? Here in America, could I register for that and watch these films?
No, it's only in Sweden. It's how it works with those digital film festivals. They are always geo-blocked. It's due to the rights situation, sure, because the rights are handled on each territory.
So there's only one way for little old me to see any of these films. And that's the kind of really cool part of this is, I believe, if I'm right, I could still register to try to win this very cool thing you have. So we have the theater, we have the arena, and then we have the lighthouse. And I am looking at a picture of this lighthouse that looks like it would be in like a movie like Cape Fear or something that ends badly for somebody. It's on a windswept, very rocky looking little island with incredible waves the whole time. And so one person will win the opportunity to live in this lighthouse for 7 days, stock full of food, absolutely cut off from the rest of the world, and watch 60 films in 7 days. Is that what the plan is?
That's the plan. You're absolutely correct.
So first of all, let's just say if people get excited by the idea of that, how do they register to do that, and how will you decide who wins that?
Yeah, you can register on our website, gothenburgfilmfestival.se, and that's we're still open for a couple of days, so you have to be quick, and then we will make the selection. And when selecting the person, we are looking for somebody who loves film, of course, but also somebody who will not be troubled by the experience of spending 1 week alone on a very small island.
Well, the whole world's had a little bit more
because it's quite
Well, Jonas,
extreme because
the whole world's had a lot more experience this year, and suddenly spending time alone and staying away from people. So you have a much bigger pool to choose from this year than you would have in years past, I would guess.
Yes, of course. And that's why this is the reason why we are doing this. It's a more or less an experiment to kind of look at what has happened this past year. Because during this year, so many people have been in isolation. People have been in lockdown all over the world in different ways. And many of those people have turned to films and turned to movies and for company and also for comfort, many people. And we have talked a lot about this. How does this change how you watch the films? How does it change how you experience the film? And it really does change it. Because, for example, if you're at home and you're in isolation and you watch this just normal film scene with a party, for example, or you watch a film when there's a scene where two strangers are hugging each other and kissing each other on the cheek, it's totally different experience, because these are things that you can't do now. So we were interested in how does this isolation affect us? How does it affect our experience of life and also of films? So we wanted to experiment that with that, and how. So then we decided to, why don't we take it to the extreme? Why don't we isolate a person with only the films for 1 week, and there is nothing else, because you can't bring a computer or a phone or even a book to this island. So it's only you, the waves, the sky, and the films.
All right, so let's ask a couple of technical questions. We can go to the website. I'll give that out again, goteborgfilmfestival.se. We'll put out a link to that, goteborgfilmfestival.se. When I register, is it just random entry? Do I need to write a paragraph on why I love film so much or why I would love Sweden, anything like that?
Yes. You should write a little bit about yourself, why you want to do this, and what's your relationship to cinema.
And
that's it, basically.
And is it open to people outside of Sweden? So if from Chicago I wrote this incredible essay and you said, wow, that's great, we want Matt to come, how do I get there? Do I have to buy my own plane ticket and travel and take COVID tests and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, that depends, of course, on... When we make the selection of the person, we of course have to then check out how can we deal with this. Is it possible for a person from this place to come to Gothenburg and attend this? And that will not be the case from every place, but it will be the case from quite many places still. And then due to those regulations about tests, et cetera, and we will help with the travel also if you're selected. But it's quite tough competition. We have had so many applications, more than 10,000 applications already from all over the world. So you have to stand out in your application to get selected.
So are you guys like really picking out one application that blows you away, or will you narrow it down to, we like these 1,000, let's throw them in a box and pick one out?
No, we will narrow it down to maybe just like a normal when you hire somebody or something, you narrow it down to 10, and then you ask them to send a little video, and then you have an interview with 3, and then you pick one, and then you we have also a psychologist on board that will also have their interview with this person to make sure there is nothing to see with this one.
But you've got to get all this done in the next couple of weeks. The film festival starts on the 30th. Is that when the person will go into the lighthouse on January 30th?
Yes. The festival starts at the 29th, and on the 30th, the person will go out in the lighthouse.
So you're going to have a lot to do in a short amount of time once you guys close down registration.
For sure. There are so many applications, and it's funny. Especially there are many from US, from Brazil, from China, India, but there are also very many from Ukraine. I don't know why.
Well, if you lived in the Ukraine, you'd know why.
Yeah.
I don't terrible know. Shot I just took at the Ukraine. I didn't mean to do that at all. Jonas, I'm reading that this year's focus is social distances. It makes sense, but are the films, is there a special emphasis within the films as well, or are the films just whatever people submitted? Is it just more, this is the focus kind of our festival, but the films will be the films?
Yeah, the films, we will have films just as normal, like films of every kind. Then we have a special focus program, so called social distances, and there we present films that are made during this past year and in response to the pandemic and in response to the lockdown. So it's both films that are really, you know, about this, that are made from, for example, there is this British filmmaker, Alistair Morrison, who was in lockdown in his studio, and there he interviewed 1,000 people about their experience of the pandemic, 1,000 people from all over the world. And then he also made portraits of them, because he's usually a film photographer mostly. And then he turned all these into a beautiful documentary on the pandemic on a global scale. So that is really kind of a document on this year. There's films like this, but there's also films like that don't necessarily are made in response to the pandemic, or even were made before the pandemic, shot before the pandemic and planned before, but are kind of ties into the cultural and existential also questions that we've been facing throughout this year. Questions about, like isolation, how the importance of being together, touching each other, how you kind of feel scared of strangers. Maybe they have the virus. Seems like in different ways ties into the complexity of of this year. So that would be a special program, but then we present the most of the festival is just normal great films.
Well, it sounds fascinating and like so much fun. Again, if you want to apply, only a couple days left to get your essay in there so they can look it over, goteborgfilmfestival.se, goteborg filmfestival.se, and you can find out how to register. Jonas, I don't get to talk to people from Sweden very often, so I have to ask you just a few uneducated American questions. First of all, how has your country done overall with the coronavirus? Have you suffered greatly? Are you walking around with masks? Have you been on lockdown, or has it been handled pretty well?
We didn't have a very tough lockdown as there was in some countries, but we had kind of this more strategy of staying open a little bit, which has been not so successful. So there is a lot of criticism of the government right now. For example, our neighboring countries, Norway and Finland, has been doing better, but on the other hand, like Belgium and France and Italy are doing worse. So we are somewhere in the middle of the European spectrum. But there has been a resistance. It's quite interesting compared to the US, because the question of masks is very highly political as well as in the US, but it's kind of the opposite. Because in the US, from what I learned, from what I read, it's not wearing masks is kind of a right-wing thing to do, and wearing masks is kind of a left-wing thing to do. And in Sweden, actually, it's the opposite, which is a little bit fascinating. But now everybody is wearing masks in the trains and buses, and but not on the street. You don't see so many masks, but in public transportation, everybody has masks.
Okay, so I'm looking at the map right now. Gothenburg is very far south in Sweden compared to your northernmost point. What is the weather like this time of year in Gothenburg?
It's terribly cold. right now it's minus 10 degrees, but it will be warmer during the festival, according to reports. So I don't think you will freeze too much on the island. But of course, there can be storms and there can be rough weather. But then you have the little comfortable house, which is the old lighthouse keeper's house that you will stay in for this week. So it won't be dangerous or tough in that kind of way, like physical dangerous or something. This is about the existential side of the whole thing.
So you're not actually up in the air in the lighthouse. You're in the house that the lighthouse keeper stays in. So you're more on ground level if you win that, right?
Yeah, you're both actually, because you will move around. But your bed will be not up in the lighthouse, but in the lighthouse keeper's house. Yes.
Okay, well, that's pretty fascinating. And I've had a lifelong fascination with the Northern Lights. How easy is it or impossible is it to find the Northern Lights if you're in Sweden?
It's possible, but it's not possible from the lighthouse. You have to go much more north.
Much more north. But if
to see that, yeah.
If you go far north in Sweden, you have a decent chance at some points of the year, at the very least, of seeing the Northern Lights.
Yeah, for sure. You have a very decent chance, but for sure.
Have you seen them? Have you?
Of course, it has to.
Have you had the opportunity to do that?
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Ugh. It's incredible. Yeah. I'm
very jealous.
I've seen it once.
You've seen it once? Oh, that's great. Yeah. Okay. Jonas Holmberg, Artistic Director of the Gothenburg Film Festival in Sweden, GOTEBORG, filmfestival.se. My producer, Brendan, is applying. Give special credit to him if you can. You need a Chicagoan over there in Sweden so that we can get a good little cultural exchange going, Jonas.
For sure.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Best of luck with the festival.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Jonas Holmberg, the Göteborg Film Festival in Sweden. It's at the southern, kind of the southern tip of Sweden, really. It's right by Denmark. So, but that lighthouse, the picture, if you go to the website and see this picture, that lighthouse looks foreboding. It looks, in fact, what is the, one of the major movie, houses or film studios has a lighthouse thing at the beginning. I swear it kind of looks like the beginning of that, where there's this waves and island, this lighthouse that spins around. It looks like you'd be a little bit scared to be there. I'm just going to tell you right now. I don't think you'd necessarily love it, but Brendan wants to win, so he's applying. So we'll see what happens.